This is Brian Croft. Welcome to another edition of Trench Talk, the podcast of Practical Shepherding. And I'm joined with Jim Sebastio. We're going to get started here in just a minute. Before we do that, you can go to practicalshepherding.com. You can access all of our resources that are there, ways we can care for you, from counseling ministry and mentoring to the Shepherd's House. You locations you could come and stay 2 days, two nights, you and your wife up to two days, two nights for free on us. We have other podcast episodes, other content, books, and all those kinds of things, and even many cohorts some that are closed because they've already started, others you can jump into. So just check all of those things. Everything we do revolves around cohorts, content, and care, those three C's. So let us know any way we can help you, including you can go to, I guess, another C, the contact button there, Jim, and you can write us. If we could help you in any way, please reach out and do that. And any way we could serve you, we would love to be able to help in whatever way we can. And speaking of that contact button, the topic today, Jim, came from somebody who reached out to us through that contact button and had a specific question for us and even thought it would be a good idea for us to address on a podcast. And you know what? He was right. A pastor wrote us and brought this particular topic to us, and that is, how do you care for aging parents with health issues but they live further away from where you live and your own ministry post? And so, Jim, we want to have this conversation because that's a legitimate question that this particular pastor wrote us and is asking us, and we want to talk about it, and we really haven't before. And yet, we can expand this, can't we? This is an issue in a lot of different facets of it. You have, in this particular pastor's situation, he has aging parents. He is the primary caregiver, though he has siblings. I know his situation, but he feels largely responsible for them. He still lives the closest to his parents from his other siblings. So that's another issue there. And he feels that responsibility. And it's becoming difficult for him to travel back and forth to care for them. You then have also health issues within your own family. So what about a pastor who has health issues with his wife or his children? That might affect his ministry. So I was literally on the phone with somebody yesterday, as we're recording this today, with a man who shared with me that he shifted his ministry role from where he was to do something different that was largely motivated by his wife's health. You brought up our good friend Bill Hughes in our conversation a few minutes ago, that, you know, Bill literally left Scotland, or he was in England, and moved to Florida for another ministry post, in part because it was going to be beneficial to his wife's health. I know of a friend of mine who did the same thing and moved to another city for his wife's health and literally walked away from his ministry post and went there and did that, and then trusted the Lord would find him another place. We have all kinds of examples of this, don't we? And Jim, I think we could also add even to it the personal health of the pastor. How does that affect maybe our ministry post? So starts to feel like a broad topic, but it's all revolving around how does the health issues of our families impact our calling, first of all, and how does it impact where not just what we're called to do, but where we do it? And that's the conversation we want to have today. Jim, would you take a minute and just set this up from a biblical perspective? Where do we start with this?
Yeah, sure, Brian. I'll try to do that. And I want to be sensitive to this and want to lay down, obviously, in some of this, we are giving our views and our thoughts and our opinions on this. And we don't want to weigh anyone down with anything that may be struggling very much with these issues. Brian, I want to begin with a basic principle that is in my own mind in this, and that is that our specific calling as a pastor does not supersede our general calling as a Christian. Okay. And so what I say with that is this: you know, there are texts in the Word of God that tell us about the care for our families, and so whether it's parent, wife, or children. And so in regard to our parents, there is the universal duty given in God's moral law for children to honor their fathers and their mothers. Paul expands upon that in the book of Hebrews, the first commandment with promise, and adds with it, you know, in Colossians, issues of obedience. I think some of that alters as you get older, the issues of obedience, but I believe that the issue of honoring our parents is a lifelong matter, and so therefore it weighs upon us as a duty. I'll speak to this later on about the situation with my own mother, who's 99 years old and lives 900 miles away from me.
Right,
and
right.
How little I have personally been able to care for my mother. I do have siblings. I'm one of 11 children. So, you know, there are some special cases in this, but that does weigh upon me in regard to my desire to live honoring and obedience to God. And so you take that, you take as well, husbands are to love their wives and lay down their lives for her as Christ laid down his life for the church, and for the issue of self-sacrificing, no to yourself in regard to your wife. And I think certainly a part of that is her physical well-being. You have the matter of parents' duties to children. So you take all of these things together and say, all right, if I were just a Christian man, what would I do in regard to honoring my parents, in regard to my wife's health situation, in regard to my children's health situation? If I'm living in an area that has perhaps a certain kind of mold content or pollen content, that makes living there miserable for my wife or for my children, but there's another ministry opportunity available in another state that doesn't have those issues, should that weigh down upon me? You know, so those are the things I think we're having to wrestle with, where we say, all right, well, if I were just a worker, what would I do?
Yeah.
When you're a pastor, you feel this extra weight of burden of that, well, I believe God called me here, called me to this church, he called me to this ministry. And again, what I'm arguing in my initial discussion here is that as best we know, God has called us to this ministry. As best we know, God has called us to pastor and to pastor in this location. We do not have that sense of there's no sense of confusion in regard to who my parents are, who my wife is, who my children are,
yeah,
and what my duties to them are. Those are explicit. As a pastor, I'm duty-bound to shepherd the flock that is among me. It doesn't necessarily mean that it will be in this location for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I hope that makes sense.
It does. Let me go to the 1 Timothy passage we often go to with this, Jim, in talking about, a man who doesn't care for his family is, you know, Paul says, worse than an unbeliever.
Right.
Can we just take a minute and discuss that? That's the one that, let me put it this way. In the conversations I've had with a lot of pastors who are trying to wrestle with this.
Right.
You know, what does that mean? Okay, wow. I mean, that's serious. I need to be able to care for my family. It's in the pastoral, so it's, I mean, New Testament in imperative. What do you think Paul is alluding to in the context there of what's the negligence that would cause such a strong statement?
Right. So again, I think we're going to have to say, I want to go back to my opening principle here, is that that's a general call. You know, that when Paul says if a man doesn't provide for his own, he's denied the faith, he's worse than an infidel. He's not talking about just pastors there. I think he's saying something that all believers everywhere need to hold.
Yeah, agree.
Yep. But a pastor, again, your calling does not mean that, well, then that text doesn't apply to me.
Right.
And therefore, we can live in absolute squalor and poverty in order to fulfill my ministry. My children don't have shoes. My children don't have dental care. My wife has to pick food out of the garbage because, you know, well, by golly, I got to preach. You know, I think you got to say, hey, brother, look, so there is a biblical principle about providing for your family. And so I would take that. So I think take that, first of all, is financially. And part of that, and here's a text line I was going to go that I thought of and I looked up, and where Paul told the Corinthians, this is a general principle that children do not lay up for the parents. Parents lay up for the children.
Hmm.
And where does that come into in regard to aged parents,
yeah,
honoring them and then with the recognition? And I think parents will feel this. Well, I'm the one who's spent all my life sacrificing for you, and that's what I ought to do.
Yeah.
You ought not to, as children, lay up and sacrifice for us. But I think there's a lot of different principles that may come into that. But again, I think it begins with that a man cares for his own family, that there is a priority of care for your family. as many other families as you might want to care for, as generous as you might want to be to others, you have to make sure that your family has food, shelter, clothing, and I think we can add to this an ample degree of medical care.
Yeah.
And that if we're not able to do that in our ministry, that we may need to it could be a large factor. Not that we want to get, it's not just, well, we're after more money and a bigger church and a bigger platform, but to be able to say, I cannot provide for my family here. And as much as I love here and want to be here, I am duty bound to provide for my own. Now, I think, again, we can argue, Brian, that your own may well include your aging parents.
Yeah,
and
right.
They do need to be cared for. And it is right for a family to do that, if at all possible.
Yeah, and I think that we have to be reminded, especially those of us who are in the States or another just really wealthy country in mm-hmm. respect to the world, that in the first century when Paul wrote that in the pastorals to Timothy, like he's writing about basic needs in a lot of ways.
Right.
So in the same way, you know, it's interesting. It's actually the same pastoral as I think First Timothy as well, where Paul highlights who the widows are and
right.
how the widows need to be cared for. So. Mm-hmm. This is back in a day where there was no Social Security. There was no, you know, these things that a lot of times people who don't have an income have something to fall back on. And so I think he's literally talking about those who would just let their family literally starve and not have basic needs, you know, for whatever reason. I think that's where the harsh rebuke comes in.
Yeah, and that's interesting, Brian, that text you allude to, like, well, you want to say, did these widows not have children? And why aren't their
yeah.
children taking care of them? Because generally in that environment, you had multi-generational households and you lived on the same property or in the same house.
Yep.
So that it would not be like it is in many parts of the world today. It's not all uncommon to have grandparents living with you, grandparents or great-grandparents, grandparents, parents, and children all living together in one house.
As I travel the world, as you do as well, I mean, we see this, like America is an exception to the rule. What you just said is pretty typical, that there's multiple generations, even multiple families living in the same property, the same home.
Yeah.
So there's, yeah, the families took care of each other. So in that context of the first century, you know, it could be a younger widow with little kids and right. has no means to care for themselves, or they don't have children or whatever it might be.
Right.
So, but that's I just wanted to take a couple of minutes to flesh that out, because I watch pastors wrestle through that particular text,
mm-hmm.
in particular, like, okay, what does it mean for me to go and care for my aging parents in this situation?
Right.
And does it mean I got to walk away from this ministry I don't feel like I'm done with, and that I'm supposed to stay here? That's the wrestling that I've talked to with a lot of different people. So I also want to go to the one more text before we get into some practicalities. You've got the prerequisite, really, of 1 Timothy 3 to the call of a pastor, that you're to be faithful to your one wife, but you're to manage your household.
Right.
It's a prerequisite to care for your family,
right.
to prioritize your family, your wife and children in particular,
right.
to even qualify to be a pastor. So we have this, we just want to put out there also, there is this category for pastors, not just that it's good, not just that it's wise and it's a way to help your ministry thrive. It's a prerequisite that you prioritize and care right. for your family to even qualify to be a pastor.
Right. And Brian, two matters that Paul deals with in regard to fathers and their children in Ephesians and Colossians is that we not provoke them to wrath or exasperate them.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think one of the ways we can do that is through in large measure through neglect due to making ministry such a priority that the household is neglected.
Yeah, that's a great point. So I want to dive into that. I want to go ahead and get into the practicalities here, Jim, because there's tons of scenarios we could go with. Let's maybe just create some case studies, for lack of a better way, okay? So let's go to this first just situation that this particular pastor wrote us.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many situations like this that I've talked to others about. But, you know, he's in the middle of his ministry. He's been there quite a few years. And he's had his own personal wrestlings with, you know, do I stay? Do I go? Have I finished mm-hmm. the work God's calling
right.
me? So he is wrestling with that already. And then you add to that piece his aging parents
right.
that don't have any family near them.
Right.
And he's been the one largely responsible for
right.
making the, you know, 3-4 hour commute to say, and he's got other siblings, but they live 15 hours away. So, I mean, he's the closest one.
Right.
And, you know, maybe the parents are considering moving to closer, maybe they're not. So he's just in this limbo place. how do you help him? If you're advising him, Jim, if you're counseling him and you're hearing his situation, how do you help him sort through what he should do? How much do you focus on, is your ministry done here? And that's the way God's going to help you see. You need to, you have another post and maybe do that closer to your parents. Or do you, does your parents, is, are they the priority? And it's not about whether your ministry is finished here or not. And it's about, do they need you? How do you personally counsel that pastor, Jim?
Yeah, that's hard. You know, there's so many different things that come through my heart and mind with this. I mean, you know, there is a change in relationship to our parents when we get married. We leave and cleave.
Right.
There is a legitimate sense in which that we establish a new home, and that new home becomes our priority. So I'll get to this later, but I want to say I think there is a difference in how we care for our parents versus how we care for our wives and children.
Okay.
I'm going to say that is the higher priority. This is a lesser priority.
That's a good thing.
Dealing with adults. You're dealing with adults who may well have income, who may well have an ability to have their basic needs taken care of by means
of, I believe that's true.
You know, so I would say, okay, are your parents destitute? Do they have a place to live?
Yeah.
Do they have any mobility? Are they able to have meals? Are they able to have access to medical care? Do they have the kind of insurance that might allow them to be in an assisted care?
Yep.
And if those things are there, it may be that what you're able to do is to provide your honoring and your care for them by financial management, even from a distance, and through regular visitation, maybe through amping up that if you were seeing them at Thanksgiving, Christmas, and summer vacation, that you work out something with the church where either you're gone 3 or 4 days in the middle of the week and just say to them, listen, I believe it is God's command for me to honor my father and my mother. I have a flexibility of my schedule and a nearness to them that my siblings don't.
Yep.
We're all contributing, but this is going to mean until the Lord takes them, until they pass, that I'm going to try to get up there more regularly, or again, that I'm going to be involved in financial decisions. And we have opportunities today to do things like Zoom calls, and I mean, even older people can figure that out very often, sometimes hilariously, but you know, generally you're able to figure that
out. Yeah.
And you're able to call, you're able to check in, you're able to ensure that they're being taken care of. It may not be your duty to ensure that, you know, every single day that they're taken care of. You could also ask the question, are the parents able to relocate, and is it more logical for them to relocate? And at what case do you press that? You know, so in the case with my mom, my mom's 99 years old.
Amazing.
I have three of my brothers live within 20 minutes of my mother. In fact, one of my brothers is now living with my mother.
Yeah.
And my oldest brother had been living, and his wife lived with my mom for a period of months. So I felt like, well, they were being taken care of, and then other siblings came in on the weekends and helped out.
Yeah.
Three of us, two of us, one brother and myself, we're not the furthest away, but I have a sister that lives in Ireland, and she's been able to come and spend like a month or 6 weeks. I'm not able to do that. I'm just not able to take 6 weeks off and go up. And
but you have other siblings doing that.
I have other siblings doing it. I do feel a degree of guilt. I do feel a degree of like I'm. So I mean, I financially try to help out with situations. So at various times, I want to try to be generous with that if my mom needs anything. And my wife and I have offered to have my mom move here live with us.
Yeah.
So we have room. We could take care of her if she wanted to live with us when they were struggling with. But she wants to live out her days in her house. She's lived there since the mid-70s, and she's happy there and content there and would rather not relocate. And so in that sense, I feel like I've done – well, I feel like the work is being done. My siblings are participating in that vastly more than I am. And I feel I struggle with that. I think about, well, how can I or should I get up there more? And I have tried sometimes. It's just my schedule has been crazy the last couple of years. It's a little easier now. This year may be a little easier to say, I need to get up maybe once or twice this year and spend a few days.
So I appreciate you sharing that. Let me affirm what you said and even build on it a bit in answering the question I posed to you. Do you evaluate your ministry or do you just evaluate what your parents need from you? I think, do I leave my ministry post or not is the wrong question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to state that up front because that's what you get asked a lot of times. I think it's the wrong question. The question is, and I think the starting place is there a way, is there options for me to care for my parents well without having to abandon my ministry post?
Right.
Like that's, I think you have to exhaust that.
Right.
And you played out the different ways that that's happening in your own family's life. But I mean, thinking about this pastor who wrote us and others who have talked to me about this, you know, I think, and the reason I want to say I want to build on what you shared is you gave several scenarios that I would want to affirm. And that's, it's not the only option is you leave your ministry post and go move to where your parents are. That's a last resort, I would even say.
Right.
So you got to ask the question, can I adequately care for them? And what are my options? And like you even said, I appreciate you articulating even that I wish I could do more. I feel guilty I'm not helping my mother more, but she's got the help she needs, even though it's not me. I think the question you have to ask is, you know, have I adequately offered opportunity to care for them?
Right.
So matter of fact, I think you said something a couple minutes ago, Jim, that's important, even as you wrestle with guilt and wrestle with, you know, I'm not up there as much. So you offered for your mother to come live with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she doesn't want to. I understand why. She wants to stay where she is.
Oh, I thought that was personal.
That was pretty good. No. Jim, I would love to come. I think anybody would love to come live with you and let you take care of them. But no, I've worked with a lot of elderly people. I totally get why she wants to stay with her own
house. Of course.
The point is, you have offered that. And to this pastor, I know his situation, who wrote us, you know, he's offered to bring his parents there and help them move closer,
right?
So they could care for them, and the parents are kind of going back and forth on it,
right?
So I think this is connected to these other texts we looked at a few minutes ago. Are you giving your parents viable options,
right?
Where you can, whether it's hey, I've got money, I'll pay for assisted living for you to move, but they're still grown people. They still have to be willing to do that. Yeah. They still have to be willing to take your help. And so everybody listening to this knows it's not just, oh, this is the best thing. Let's do this. You've got to convince a 99-year-old woman to leave her house and move in. So there's family dynamics that are dysfunctional and broken and unhealthy and that every family has and every family has to deal with, which is why I'm saying that's the wrong question for a pastor to go, well, I need to leave my ministry post and just go move there. No, you first need to evaluate, have I adequately tried to be helpful to my parents?
Right.
And I think that is the main thing you ask yourself. And if you have, I've learned this by pastoring a lot of elderly people. A lot of them are incredibly stubborn and they don't want to move and they don't want the help, and even though they need it.
Right.
So aging parents, you know, one of them has a big fall and gets hurt and ends up in the hospital, but they've denied your help to move them closer, to be a part of this, to pay for somebody to come during the day to help, or and they've denied all that because they're just stubborn and don't want the help. Like, I don't feel that is the same burden for a pastor versus parents who just want the help and a pastor is totally negligent of trying to help them in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two different scenarios. And I think that's really where this conversation boils down to in my mind. This is not about you just abandoning your ministry post and you're supposed to, your first priority is to go care for your parents however they want you to. That's not what we're talking about here. It's about you honor your parents by making the effort, but they have to receive the care.
That's correct.
They have to accept what you're offering. And I think if there's one big takeaway from this conversation, Jim, it would be that we need to make efforts with our parents. And sometimes it is to relocate or do those kind of things. But when it comes to our parents, I think that is the most important piece. Let me shift to the other we've talked about, because I think it's different, as we've highlighted. What if it's our spouse?
Right.
Or what if it's one of our children that needs medical care of some kind that I know pastors that who've left their ministry post because they need to live closer to this hospital because of the medical care.
Yeah, absolutely, right.
I think it's an honorable thing for a man to do that, and God honors that. We talked about our good friend Bill Hughes. you know, who we honor in all kinds of ways. This is another reason to honor him. He is an incredibly fruitful ministry in the UK. He's British. That's where he lived. He moved to Florida for the sake of his wife's health, and then had an astoundingly fruitful ministry here when he moved here.
Yep.
So let's talk about that piece. So we've spent time with the parents. Let's move it to, okay, when should a pastor make a decision like that to leave his ministry post for his wife or for his children? How is that different than the parents, Jim? And how does a pastor sort through, okay, it's time for me to leave my ministry post to go care for them?
Yeah. So again, I think there's a striking difference between the two.
Me too.
And I'd say, okay, so when you say you got to take care of your own, when I hear that, I'm not thinking about my mom so much. I'm not thinking about my siblings. I'm not thinking about my cousins.
That's a great point.
I'm thinking about my wife and my children.
Great point.
And to some degree, my grandchildren, you know, so, but my grandchildren are not my responsibility.
Yeah.
But my wife is, and my children are grown and essentially out of that. I do have one that lives there, but she's independent and older and all the rest, but, I'm her landlord. At this stage of life, you know, so for me, it's, I'm taking care of my wife, but as I, for the 30 years or so that I had kids in the house, 33 years of having kids in the house, it was making sure that their needs are met. And that had a whole variety of things to it that we don't necessarily need to get into about what that meant to balance of ministry and family so that my children and my wife never felt like ecclesiastical orphans or widows, and never that they saw the importance of my ministry, but also knew their own importance. And that's crucial. And so I think, Brian, you're going to get into a couple of things. So I think primarily what you want to deal with here are the issues of health and the issue of wealth, perhaps, or to the degree of providing for them.
Yeah.
Adequately providing. So it may mean that in order to take care of my family, I might need to move. Maybe I may go to another church that doesn't have enough resources, but there may be other opportunities for me to be employed. So for instance, let's say a man is a bivocational and he pastors, but he also works in IT, and he's in a Bowlegs, Oklahoma. I just met a guy from Bowlegs, Oklahoma.
Can't imagine.
And I just love that name. Or he said, maybe I don't want to hurt anybody who lives in Gnawbone, Indiana. And I'm not going to say that there are not great opportunities for that kind of work. Maybe there are, because maybe in today, because you can almost live anywhere and work virtually. But anyway, let's just say, for the sake of the argument, that it's not just you're trying to enrich yourself, but it is, look, we have five kids, we're in a two-bedroom place, and there is an opportunity. It is getting to the point where this is, particularly as the kids get older, this is really getting difficult.
Yep.
And I'm having a hard time putting food on the table. Things are more expensive now, and the church's giving has not gone up. And so though they have not cut my salary every year that I don't get a raise or don't get an increase, cost of living increase, it's like I'm getting my salary cut every year. And while they are willing to sacrifice, you may get to the point where you say, listen, for the sake of the kingdom, we may stay here, but I don't believe I should feel guilty in saying it is God's will for me to provide for my own. Yeah. And I need to do that. And I can't spiritualize that away. You know, they're all on board and they're all willing. No, Dad, we are happy to do this. But I think for a man to say, look, in order to take care of the health, that's the easier one. The harder one's the wealth issue because, well, what's enough? And you can all of that sort of stuff that you're going to go through. But you know, your wife has allergies, or again, you have a kid perhaps, like a friend of mine had a daughter with leukemia, and he needed to make regular trips to Louisville, you know, to the hospital.
Yeah.
I'm sure at some point there was the discussion, should we just move there? I was talking to a pastor a couple of years ago about a ministry post, and he said, Jim, my daughters have these health needs. I need to be near a major city that has a big children's hospital.
Heard that too.
Yep. So it's like, well, that's great, brother. Listen, so that for you, no, you're not going to do frontier missions somewhere. You're not going to go to Erie and Jaya. You know, you're not going to go to these places, and you don't need to feel any guilt about that because God's command to you is to provide for your own.
Yeah. No, that's really good. I affirm all of that. And I think, by the way, let's keep, you brought up an interesting point. There's the health and the wealth side. The wealth is a different conversation. Yeah. I think let's keep it on the health side because that by itself has many facets to it. But yeah, I think, so some of the best advice I ever got was there's always another ministry. You only get one wife.
Right.
And I think you can add to that. You only get one wife. You only get one family.
Right.
And so I think that when a pastor is faced with, he's at a breaking point. He is faced with,
yeah.
I have to choose what's really best for my family
right.
and what's best for my ministry. When you're at that crossroad, then I think biblically you can argue you choose your family.
I agree.
And so in general. And so I think that, you know, it's one thing for your wife, your kids to struggle because ministry is hard and you're trying to juggle all that and care for them well, but they're having a hard time. Versus like there's legitimate health issues going on that is radically changing the quality of life that your family's having.
Right.
For that child that's got to drive 3 hours to the hospital every time you got to do something. I have a friend of mine who had a really, by the way, we should give some context. We're sitting here in the Practical Shepherding office in Louisville, Kentucky. And for those of you who've never been to Louisville, Kentucky, it's a great place for a lot of reasons. It is one of the worst places in all the United States for allergy issues that creates all kinds of health issues. I've watched it. I've lived here my whole life. I've watched it happen all the time.
Right. Yeah, one of my daughters really struggles.
Well, and so I have a friend of mine that he came to seminary here and then ended up having tons of fruitful ministry as a pastor here after he graduated. He said he was doing ministry with me in some other ways. And his wife's health was rough when they came here. Her health got significantly worse while they lived here, the 5-6 years they were here, mm-hmm. to where the doc literally said, you have to get out of there
right.
if you want to get better.
Right.
And they were from the South, deep South. And he literally quit. He had 3 ministry roles, fruitful in all of them.
Right.
Just one of those guys. He walked away from all of them.
Right.
And moved home. Moved back to the South, next to the Gulf Coast, which they said it would be the best environment for his wife's health, and they moved down there, and his wife's health got significantly better when she was down. So the doc was right, but he literally walked away from all his fruitful ministry here, and went down there and literally had no ministry options when he went down there, and it took actually about a year before those things started opening up for him. He did construction and just did some side work to try to make ends meet.
Right.
And I honor that man for what he did. Of course, he's God's blessing his ministry has there as he always has everywhere he's gone. But I give that an example because I do think there is a crossroad you hit with your family. And I think what we want to emphasize as we come, we're going to wrap this episode in a minute, as we want to emphasize, there's always another ministry. There really is always another ministry, yeah. but you only get one family.
Right.
And to make decisions around that is important. I'll also say this too. It's personally with me because there were a lot of reasons that I felt called to step away from pastoral ministry to lead Practical Shepherding full time, which was about 4.5 years ago that I made that transition. There were a ton of reasons I'm not getting into. There were a ton of reasons why I felt a clear leading of the Lord. This was what I was supposed to do. One of them was that my family was wore out from all of this.
Right.
And so I just want to, I'm not gonna get into the details of that, but as I learned that I actually felt like I hit a crossroad with my ministry to say, I feel like I'm at a crossroad. I need to make a decision that something that's best for my family or is best for my ministry. What if those things are opposed to each other and I have to make a choice? And so it was one of the ways God helped me see it was time to step away from being a pastor and time to step into this role. And so I think there's all kinds of crossroads that pastors listening to this are going to have. But if it comes down to prioritizing your wife, prioritizing your kids, right. especially their health,
right?
I think that's got to win out. And I believe God will honor that and in his providence has a plan, has another place for you if you need to step away from ministry for their sake.
Right. I'll drive that nail down. Do not use the super spiritual language that some have used. I need to lay my family on the altar, you know, for the sake of my
sake of ministry.
For the sake of ministry.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a very interesting statement that Paul makes. It's 1 Corinthians 7, where he talks about singles and marriage, and he says, he's not being critical when he says this. He says, the married man cares about the things of this world, how he may please his wife. That's not a criticism.
No, it's not.
That's actually what a married man should do.
Right.
And a single man, he says, cares only about the things of the Lord. Hey, you're single, and you want to lay your life down. You want to live on a couch, or you want to live in your car and serve Jesus and give everything you have to the poor. That's you can do that. You get married and you have a family. You have to care about the things of this world. And part of that is how to please your wife and how to take care of your wife, how to take care of your kids.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because my final word on this is that, and I say this a lot as, and by the way, I say this as I've been very impacted by the ministry of those who really call people to sacrificial missions and, you know, laying it all down. I was very impacted personally by that. And I personally want to challenge people in that way. But I have found that, like, to your point, a lot of times a man's calling and the way he wants to sacrifice is not the same calling his wife and his children have.
Exactly.
So I have said numerous times to pastors, and I want to say it here as we wrap this episode, because I think it is very freeing to a lot of pastors. And I don't want to ever assume any of them have heard it, because they usually heard the other version of,
right,
lay it all down. If you want to do ministry a long time somewhere, you got to find a way to create as good a quality of life for your wife and your children,
right,
to live while you're out doing all the ministry you feel, right, God's called you,
right,
to. The guys that move their wife and children to just, you know, places they don't want to go, to live the ways they don't want to live, because they say, well, God's calling me to this. No, you have to take into account your family in those decisions. And so you want to do ministry a long time, one of the factors that doesn't get talked about a lot, I'll say it, I think you have to try to create a good quality of life for your family while they live out your family life. You're able to still do ministry a long time, because super hard ministry that's constantly like that, most people can't endure for a long period of time. Mm. And so look to your care for your family and create a good quality of life for them. And hopefully you can then enjoy your life with them and do ministry, and which is hard and sacrificial, regardless of where you do it. Any final word, Jim, for you?
No, I think that wraps it up for me.
Okay. Well, would you take a minute and just,
sure,
pray? Because wisdom is needed, right, in so many of these things. Will you pray for them that way?
Our Father in heaven, thank you for the things you've entrusted to us in ministry, both our families and our flocks. And Father, pray that we would be given help and wisdom as we work through the tensions that occasionally arise in striving to care for both. Lord, we believe that there is a supernatural supply of help and of wisdom, and ask that you would grant it where needed. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.